Call the Finance Committee to order. We will let, I think, does everybody know Commissioner Clark?
I know.
We could do, well, yeah, you can decide how you want to do your introductions.
Want to do a quick interview?
We'll end up doing it again, but, yeah.
I'm Commissioner Pop. I've been on the board for, I'm the Chair of the Finance.
Commissioner Povey, Sherburne County Commissioner.
Bobby Casper, Morrison County Commissioner.
I feel very far away from all of them.
Good evening. I'm Jamie Trenum. I'm the Associate Director of Collection Development.
And I'm Brandy Cantor, Lead Patron Services Supervisor for Great River.
Amy Anderson, Associate Director of Accounting for Great River.
Nicole Wojcik, the Associate Director of Human Resources for Great River.
And I'm Jane Dietz. Okay. I'm a citizen trustee from Sherburne County.
Wonderful.
Patty Willetsko, administrative assistant.
Yes.
Karen Bensack, you know me.
Yes.
Welcome, welcome.
And I'm Terrell Clark. I'm one of the Stearns County commissioners. One cannot replace Lee Ludensmeyer, but I am following Lee Lunds here, and this happens to be the district I serve in, Stearns County. So, it's
okay. Cool. How is Lee doing?
He's good. He's doing good. He's getting healthy. He's still on medical leave, but we get to see him remotely, so that's good.
Mm.
Hopefully, he'll be back soon.
Good. Okay.
I mean, in person, not just on the screen.
Yeah.
Adopt or amend the agenda? Any corrections, Karen, or anything like that?
I'll move approval.
A second.
Got a motion by Lisa, second by Jane. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Third quarter financial report. Amy, I would think.
Yeah. Third quarter starts on page number 3. Whoops, not my tag over here. Hang on. Okay. This first page is the recap of what you see on the financials. Page and receipts indicate that the year-end receipts will exceed the budgeted amount of $105,000, and that's right at the top here. Interest income is exponentially greater than expected when we set the 2024 budget, and we'll discuss the impacts of this line more during the year-end projections discussion that's coming up. So I'm going to turn now to page 4, which is reflective of our CD portfolio on September 30th. The magic liquid rate at that day was 5.16%, which was down from 5.85% at that time in 2023. So interest rates are starting to fall a little bit, but they're still quite strong. There were six CD maturities left in 2024 as of September 30th. Jumping to page 6, this is our illustration of the 2024 receipts. Expresses a percentage of the overall budget. On September 30th, revenues were 86% received, and the ROBSS, that state library funding for 2024, exceeded the anticipated amount by nearly $275,000. We've talked about that before, which is also impacting our budget surplus that we're running for the year. Going forward, we wanted to make sure that everybody was reminded that that funding formula for ROBSS will be more accurate outside of the inflationary adjustments because state aid amounts will be known during the budgeting cycle. On page 7 and 8, these are the illustrations of the year's expenses compared to quarter 3 of 2023. At the end of quarter 3, personnel was 70% of the 2024 budget lines. I'll draw your attention to page 8. The mileage reimbursement lines are going to be overspent again at year end. These lines were adjusted for the 2025 budget back to the pre-pandemic levels that they were at. We had reduced those lines when in-person trainings and meetings were not happening. Library materials and automation spending is also on page 8. Those expenses are cyclical. Renewals and purchases are staggered throughout the year, and there is a big spend down in quarter 4 every year. These lines are expected to be at 100% at year end. And expenses for quarter three were as anticipated in most areas, and 70% spent against the year's budget on September 30th. Page 9 and 10 are the fund balance activity for the year. And these are the happenings in the grants, the capital, restricted, committed, and assigned funds for the organization. Are there any questions for quarter three?
Any questions?
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Commissioner. I'm just wondering, now, these CDs, that's not a locked interest rate. They're adjustable. Is that correct?
They're fixed rates for the term of the CD, and okay. Then every time they mature, that's when the rates change.
Very good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
How do you decide where you buy those CDs? Do you have someone help you, or you just kind of look and see what's the best rate?
Sure. So the local CD program that the board asked us to do is kind of shopping around. We go where we can find the best rates at the best terms. The Magic Fund, which is that PFM, and it actually was bought by U.S. Bank this year. What they do is when we have a maturity, they say, these are the rates for these terms, and then Karen and I go through them and see which is the best rate to renew at for that term. And the banks are chosen and vetted by the PFM group or the Magic group. We can't really say which banks we want to include and exclude. We have to take rates from everybody who is available.
Thank you. I'm trying to think how many years ago we decided that we wanted to support some of our local banks and investments.
At least 3 or 4 years
now.
Yeah. So we started small, but we're up to 5, I think. Right?
I was just looking for the...
It's TrueStone.
We're actually up to 6.
Okay. Yeah, we added TrueStone when we drove down Division Street and saw that they were at a rate nobody else was at. Let's stop in there. Yeah. But that took an hour and a half to sign that account.
It was a field trip.
And then I had to go back.
It was
back.
A field trip.
Yeah.
Hey, Maria. Sorry, I'm late.
Mr. Chair, one more question.
Sure.
Thank you. Amy, I'm wondering, this is a bit aside, but you mentioned that mileage has been an issue. It's overrun.
Mileage reimbursements will be an issue again this year. During the pandemic, that budget line was not being spent, and so we reduced it for several years. And once things were up and running, that line is just a couple years behind being adjusted back to where it was before the pandemic.
I see. Mm-hmm. No, another question, Amy, then. So for 2025, has there been an adjustment in the pay per mileage?
I haven't looked at the 2025 rate yet,
okay.
But over the last several years, there has been increases annually.
Yeah. I'm just curious because I see fuel prices at the pumps are sliding pretty good, so that would be something different.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
You're welcome. Yeah, I would think that fuel prices are sliding, but auto parts and that stuff is all figured into that mileage, so...
That's a good point.
Yeah, I don't know if we'll see a reduction or not.
Even if it would be stable for a change.
Right. And it hasn't went up a whole lot in the last few years.
It's actually been, considering how much gas has bounced around.
Yeah, that's true.
It's surprising how stable that number is.
And the cost of vehicles, even used ones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Any other questions? This is an action item we need approval for.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Jane makes the motion.
I can second it.
Bobby seconds it. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Position description updates.
Nope. Wrong agenda.
Oh, I'm in the wrong agenda. I've been marking them off as we're going here. Jeez. Great River 2024 budget projections, page 11.
So we're going to jump to page 11, and this is a discussion about the projections. We're seeing a strong, very strong interest revenue this year and an increase to that state aid that we just talked about. Great River is running a very large surplus this year. Revenues are projected to have a 5.63% surplus, which is equivalent to about $572,000. Operating expenses are also projected to be underspent by 2.5%, and that is equal to about $254,000. It's important to remember as we're looking at this document that the surplus revenues are mostly additional interest receipts and then that one-time increase to state aid. So that being said, one-time funds are not anticipated, and we can't project them to be a part of upcoming budget years as well. So on page 13 and 14, you can see that interest line we're able to reap the benefits of the Fed's interest and inflation policies. We use that short-term investment strategy in 2022 and 2023. So as interest rates were rising, we had more opportunities to renew CDs at higher rates. And then at the same time, if you remember a couple of years back, the Fed decided to keep interest rates high a lot longer than they had originally said. They were going to start cutting in 2023. They actually didn't start cutting for a whole year after that. So Great River benefited by that immensely. The magic liquid savings was at 4.85 at the end of October. This morning it was down to 4.64%. So that indicates that interest rates are going to continue to fall. And any surplus that's found within that 2025 budget next year is probably going to be significantly less than what we've been experiencing in these past years. But you can see on page 13 that the personnel budget is where you can see effects of the increased state aid. Great River uses that state aid to offset the personnel budget. And other expense lines to note on this document is the patron contact service line on page 13. This is where we get billed for patron past due and lost materials notices. The U.S. Postal Service continues to increase postage rates. So this year we made a shift and we are starting to communicate using different media other than just mail. We're having some real success with that and having more messages go to patrons by voicemail and email. So it's helping a lot. That line is going to be overspent again in 2024, but compared to last year, it'll be significantly less. The building maintenance and HRIS system lines are overspent this year because of that St. Cloud lighting project we did this spring and the HRIS conversion that took place this fall. And then again, that mileage line, and they have been adjusted back to 2025 for 2025. So... that's where our projections are. Does anybody have any questions?
So the building maintenance, that should probably go back to somewhat normal then.
Right, yeah. Remember in the spring they needed us to help pay for the lights?
Right.
And, that will go back down next year.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Was that plugged pipe a part of this too? That was kind of expensive to fix that as well.
So that, all of the expenses for 2024 for St. Cloud won't show up until we get that billing in 2025. Mm-hmm. So we'll get to revisit this topic.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, the elevator broke for a while. It's a 15-year-old building, so.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Gonna keep doing stuff.
Okay. Anything? Any other questions for Amy? This is an action item. Or do you want to do all?
Just discussion.
What?
That one was just discussion.
That was just discussion.
Yep. Right?
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yep. That was four.
So okay, now we're on number five.
There we go.
Fund designation request.
So on page 15, we have 2024 budget surplus designation. We'd like to put $350,000 of this anticipated surplus into the 2026 operating budget. This is what we have been doing for the past, well, in my tenure here. And designating the surplus funds to the 2026 budget will just offset signatory contributions for that year.
Was that the same amount as last year?
It will be less than last year. For 2025, the board chose $389,000.
That's what it was. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then this is also separate from that spend on plan, that other, yep, that other line.
Thank you.
Okay, I think any discussion on that? I mean, it's hard to realize it at this point in time.
It's just a starting point,
yeah,
for the base budget
point,
process.
So,
mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, we do have spend down if we want and other things as we go forward. So it's just a matter of moving the money. Do you want to do all three of them, 5-1, 5-2, and 5-3?
Do you want more information on those other two?
I don't know. It's up to them.
Maybe just review them real quick for the record. Is it just the three?
Other...
Okay.
So action
items.
The next one?
Okay.
You want them separate?
In a separate?
Oh,
okay.
Because of the dollar amounts, it might be...
Yeah, okay. You're probably right. Thanks, Patty. So the budget surplus and restricted to the 2026 budget. We'll take a motion on that one.
Mr. Chair, I'll move to approve.
I'll second.
Okay.
Oh, go ahead.
By Lisa, seconded by Jane to approve the budget reserve move. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 5.2, aid position pay grade change.
Okay, so the aid and the senior aid positions are non-public facing positions key to moving materials throughout the region. These positions are on the lowest pay grade of the GRRL pay scale, and annual percentage changes are smaller and less equitable for these positions for that reason. The current pay grade contributes to a lot of recruitment and retention challenges that are faced by our branches and the organization as a whole. One of the current strategic plan's objectives is to improve recruitment processes, and adjusting the pay grade aligns with this objective. The 2024 budget surplus provides an opportunity to designate $31,300 into the 2025 wage base to move these positions to a higher pay grade. And tonight we're asking the board to approve this request as the preliminary recommendation from our compensation study consultant.
This is exactly what we're looking for, to make these moves, and I think this, if we have the funds to do it, I think we go hand in hand to do it.
Mm-hmm. Are you making a motion?
I will make the motion to approve the pay increase. And the,
second that.
Motion has been made and seconded to approve the pay grade change. Any other discussion? And we did discuss that with the union, right?
This is a non-union position.
This is a non-union position. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
But the unions will be watching.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. But I think it's definitely the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Because it's non-union, we can move faster.
Right.
So.
Yep.
Then we'll move to 5.3, automated materials handling system and radio frequency identification.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So we are requesting that $350,000 from the surplus be designated towards future purchases of an automated materials handling system and radio frequency identification conversion. So I'll break down those big words. It's a lot of lingo. So basically this year, Jamie and I have been working on a work group to look at the AMHS, which we call Wally. Some of you might have met Wally back in the work area. That's the great big conveyor belt machine that checks stuff in for us.
Actually, I got one. I thought Wally was a big white-tailed deer. Oh, that was Walter. Okay.
So Wally is very old. Wally breaks. Wally, we have to do lots of maintenance to keep him going. And he's also integral to how materials move and are checked in, both for this location as a library in and of itself, but also for how regional materials are distributed. And we've been doing a lot of research looking at what could an updated AMHS system do for us, as well as looking at what could it do for us if we went with RFID. So RFID is the little, like, stickers, radio frequency identification system that you would put in. They're used a lot in shipping. They put them on shipping boxes, and that's how Amazon knows where your package is and where your things are going. And so you can do that with collection items as well. and that just facilitates the whole process of checking out and checking in. It also makes it possible to do some pretty cool things around how distribution happens. So you can actually go into a software system and say, we want Elk River to get this percentage of adult fiction and this percentage of juvenile fiction, and then our staff don't have to sit there and try to figure it out. The machine just does it for us. So we could build in a lot of efficiencies. That's the great news. They're expensive, though. They're big systems, lots of machinery. And so when we looked at the size of the surplus this year, we thought, could we start a fund for that eventual replacement of Wally? And also possibly for having a smaller AMHS in one of our other locations, like some of the bigger locations. It could really help out there and reduce some of that time spent checking items in by staff, make it more efficient so that staff can focus on the actual public-facing pieces that we need them to focus on. I'll hand it, you okay if I hand it to you to talk about?
You covered it really well.
On the fly. So I do want to just make sure the board understands the actual cost is going to be more than $350,000 to do that. And with the lease with the St. Cloud Library, the St. Cloud Board, or the Great River Board, is eventually going to have that whole cost. So if we can put some toward it now, that will just help us be further along later when we get closer to that point of actually needing to purchase.
Do you have any idea what the total cost will be?
For the St. Cloud system itself, it depends on the size and scope. We're working with really rough budgetary estimates right now that span from $350,000 to $600,000.
Okay. So that's for the machine or the
correct
RFID?
That is for an automated materials handling system that could help us with the regional delivery as well. The RFID tagging project, we do have funds in automation that can be used toward that project. We would be talking about purchasing tags and potentially contracting out for staffing to insert the tags and program them. That is a project that could run $600,000 to $750,000 on its own. So one of the things that we discovered that was surprising to me is the old barcode technology, right? Because libraries have moved away from it, using that technology in a new system is actually more expensive than you would think. It adds at least $50,000 onto every point where we would want that barcode to be read. So it's time to start thinking about how this could be more. If we're investing in new equipment, we should not be investing in equipment that has old technology inside of it. With our express checkouts as well, they run about $10,000 more a piece to have the barcode component with the electromagnetic security rather than the new RFID. So it was shocking to me, but supply and demand, you know, it's becoming more scarce because it's not being used as much.
I guess my next question would be what I ask every time we want to automate in a county is, are we going to eliminate any employees? Are we going to have any savings with personnel with all the automation?
I think there's a couple of answers to that. Number one, like, we have some of our locations where we're just having a really hard time finding aides. And so in some of our locations, if we could implement RFID, that could make it easier for public-facing staff to do some of those tasks that aides are doing right now so that it takes less time. In St. Cloud, I don't see us going away from having aides. We're too big, so we're still going to have those staff here. But the staff that we have are going to be able to do things more efficiently and in a more timely fashion. So it's kind of a yes and type of answer.
Yeah. And you never know to implement the program neither.
Right. So, okay. So it will have staffing impacts, but it will not eliminate positions that that we see.
Chair, is there? Have you researched also like any the ongoing maintenance on a system like that, the new system?
Sure, and we have asked. So some of the information that we got that we're really thinking about is things like how to set up your system so that there's fewer parts that can break, and how to set up your system so it's super fancy and lots of things can break. And so one of the things that we're doing within our work group is putting forward recommendations that are like, keep it simple, don't go for fancy, let's have as short of conveyor systems as possible, because conveyor belts are the biggest area where things break all the time. And so we're trying to be really smart about the recommendations that we put forward for what kinds of systems to get and how to put the systems together. Because a lot of these systems are like different components that you just plug in together. So like if modular, so like you can have systems that will check it in and then sort it into four separate bins, depending on what kind of item it is. Or basically that same system, you just add more pieces to it, and now you can sort things into 32 different bins to send stuff like everything going to Elk River goes into one bin, and then all you have to do is close the bin and you send it to Elk River and it's gone, you know. And so because it's modular, it...
We could start small and grow.
Yes.
Yeah, and I would say depending on how large the system is, that will scale what the maintenance is. But the goal is to, as Brandy said, use known technology, fewer moving parts, fewer fancy bells and whistles to break.
And this will be shared costs with St. Cloud for or maintenance? Is that how it currently is?
It's set up that way right now. We have a new mayor coming in, so there's opportunities. But if we don't do anything, it will be completely our responsibility by 2033. So there is an end date. We're at the 50-50 mark right now.
Okay. Any other questions? Good information, too.
Yeah. I'll make a motion to designate the $350,000 from the 2024 budget surplus for future automated material handling system projects and the RFID conversion.
I'll second that.
Okay. Motion's been made and seconded. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Until the next meeting, January 21st, 2025.
Yep. It's coming.
Yep, you bet. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
With that, we're adjourned at 5:30.